If you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter 1. Probably have a song here again in a few minutes, but let's go ahead and get started while you're nice and awake and smiling still. Hallelujah. Not that you'd stop smiling, but Galatians chapter 1, we're going to begin at verse 1 in the great word of the Lord. I say great word of the Lord because it is great.
Amen, bro.
You can always depend upon the word of God. Always. Even when you can't depend upon yourself, you can't depend upon life, you can't trust certain things, you can always depend upon the word. The word will always be there, and the word will never be partial. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So he's speaking to more than one congregation in the region of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Praise God. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes today. There is no other gospel. Verse 7, which is not another, because there is no other gospel. There is no other gospel. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, I'm the way. John 14:6, I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other gospel. Ephesians 4, verse 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. Verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There is not another. Praise the Lord. Let's call upon him and thank him for his word today. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you today. Jesus, we love you today. We love you today. We love you today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's not another. Praise God. There's not another. Praise God. We bless your name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The cousin of the Lord is in prison. His time has come. He said himself, I must decrease, but he must increase. But there came a moment in John's life, son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, prophet of the Lord, the Elias or Elijah that should come, as Jesus said. But yet there was a moment in that prison before his life was taken and Herod had taken his head off, that he said, as he sent some of his disciples to the Lord and said, are you he that should come or do we look for another? Praise God. Now, don't cast stones at Brother John because you've been there too. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You've been there too when life has done you what life has done and you find yourself there in a prison, a circumstance, and you're wondering, Lord, are you the one or do I look for another? Hallelujah. Are you sufficient enough? This is what we say on our end. Are you sufficient enough to get me out of this? Are you really my only hope? But John had doubts. Do we look for another? And Jesus turned those guys around and said, go tell Johnny Boy what you've seen, what you've heard. And blessed are those that are not offended in me. And when they got back to old John, they said, well, when we showed up, he was preaching some powerful stuff. Blinded eyes were being opened. Deaf ears were being unstopped. What is that good enough for you? And I guarantee you, John sat back there with chains around his ankles and on his wrists possibly and said, I'm good. There's not another. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the one. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. I was right when I said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And the next day, John spoke, and two of his disciples heard him speak when he said, behold, the Lamb. He got the right one. Amen. Sometimes we just need to know we've got the right one. Yeah. Amen. In that day, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Amen. In that day, one Lord. In that day, one name. Amen. In that day, one church. In that day, one covenant. Praise the Lord. It's real simple for us. You need not look for another, because there's not another. Amen. There's only one God and Father of all. Amen. We don't serve a dissected deity. There's only one God. Praise God. And there's no other God but one God. Amen. God's so good. So many good things we can learn in the Word of God. Not just to learn them, not just to gain Bible knowledge, but to live by. We need to learn to live by this thing. Didn't Jesus say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live? Isn't that what he told Satan when Satan tried to tempt him? And Jesus at that point was requoting something Moses had said centuries before, that man shall not live by bread alone, right? But by manna, but by every word of God shall man live. Hallelujah. Because there's not another. We get to learn to live by this thing. And to let this thing be a part of our everyday life. Jesus didn't shed blood to give us a religion. He didn't shed blood to give us something to do on a Sunday. He didn't give his life a ransom for many to be testified in due time so that we could have a religious cloak and just make ourselves feel good on our way to the grave. Praise God. He did not shed blood and resurrect from the tomb to give us a crutch to just get by. Praise the Lord. In fact, he resurrected to take our crutches away and cause us to be able to walk with God. Amen. Because there's not another. We're not supposed to limp with God. We're supposed to walk with God. We're not supposed to just get by with God. We're supposed to thrive with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is something that you can do when you realize there is not another. When you settle it in your heart and you allow what God is to settle in your heart. Amen. And to settle you in himself. Praise God. You realize that I am persuaded. Why? Because there's not another. When you're persuaded, you're convinced. You're not so easily moved. But yet Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia because people are being easily moved. Told you a few weeks ago about the gentleman that walked up to this pulpit, and while you were conversing after church, he walked up and leaned over and said, I'm here to rebuke you. And he said, I know a man. He said, I'm not teaching it right. And he tried to quote what we just read here today, Galatians 1, 8, and 9, by accusing me of what we preach here being another gospel. And he held his Bible like this because he had John 3:16 in his hand and he was sucking on it. Thank you, Sister Melody. Illustrations are powerful. But now he showed up to church, and I don't hate the man. I hope to see him back and living for God and overcoming the world, and we'll rejoice and laugh about that whole moment. But he had texted me, said, I found another church. And now people find another church, that's whatever, you know, if it's truth. But what our experience is here is I found somewhere that doesn't teach it like it's taught here. I can get by with sinning and being ungodly, and I don't have to go all the way because I'd rather keep my addiction than struggle and strive against it and overcome it, right? That's all that's being said there. When they say, sometimes they say, I found another church, what they're saying is, I found something that lets me be what I really don't want to stop being. So He sat through the entire church service, very indifferent. And I was surprised to see him here because it had been months since he had texted that. And I was like, why is he here? And I said, well, he don't look very happy, but we were happy. We were having church all around him. Isn't that amazing? That's why we say sometimes, look, if you're miserable, you're in the right church. Well, you are. But don't get mad at us if we don't get miserable with you. It's not because we hate you. We've been miserable. We've been there before, but we know how to overcome that because we have one gospel. There's not another. Hallelujah. Am I right? And the gospel is perfect for getting rid of your miseries. But we had a great time. I felt good. I don't recall what the message was, but the worship and the praise and just, you know, praise God. Now, I hadn't even left the pulpit yet, and he came right up there. And I don't want to put this in my mouth because it'll probably taste good. But he came up and with his binky in his mouth. And, you know, that's how I picture it now. Came right up with his finger in the Bible. And he said, didn't you say? He's pointing at it, you know. I could smell the alcohol and cigarettes on his breath. And he said, didn't you say that you can't be lost, that you can backslide, and that you can fall from grace from this thing? And I kind of looked at him and said, what are you talking about? He said, John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish. And he was a soft-spoken guy, but he got a little, I saw that vehemency in his, because it's a spirit, you know. And I said, well, it says it should not perish. He said, will not. I said, no, you're reading it wrong. Read it right. I said, should not, because you can. But he don't want you to. And then he leaned forward and said, I know someone who could take this book and thrash you. Now, I don't care about that, but I'm saying what people do sometimes is, I keep referencing that. That's a great visual. What people don't get sometimes is the Word of God's a puzzle. And one of these says, I'm going to get a puzzle box. I wish I had it. And pour it out on one of our little tables there and show you that what he did was he picked up a piece of the puzzle and walked up and said, this is the picture. And what you're preaching from those other pieces is not gospel. In that, I mean, ignorance is not bliss here. But they don't see what they're saying. Every word of God, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. It's not just one piece. It's this 30,000 plus scriptures. It's every piece of the puzzle makes the one picture of redemption. You don't take one piece and make that a gospel and five pieces of the same puzzle over here and make that a gospel. There is not another gospel. It's the whole thing. I'm only referencing that again for the point of the fact that he was so, you know, indignant on that one verse. He was so just vehement with John 3:16. I'm like, well, what happened to the previous 15 verses? You know, God so loved that I can stay a drunk and be saved. Now, I'm not here to pick on people who drink. That's not the point. But I guess he wouldn't have liked 1 Corinthians 6. For the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Nor fornicator, nor adulterer, nor effeminate, nor drunkard. Be not filled with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He wouldn't have liked that puzzle piece either. But now, I wasn't there fighting him. I was sad to see that. But what had happened to him, because I baptized the individual some years ago, a couple of years ago, before he had fallen off the bandwagon and had to kind of go through his thing. So I'm not picking on the gentleman. This happens to so many people. And it was happening to the church of Galatia who knew the truth. But see, I baptized that guy. Now he came back being influenced by what is being taught to him as another gospel. But we say that's not another gospel. John 3:16 is the word of God, but how you're interpreting is not the word of God. There's not more than one way to be saved. And what was happening with the Galatian church, and I pray does not happen to any of us, is that they were having people come among them and teach them additional things. Remember, these are the Gentiles, so they're not the Jewish people. So, and they were having people go to them who were Jew, saying that you need to do certain things or else you can't be saved, and persuading some of them to now return to Mosaic law and the practice of the law and the observance of things. And that's where Paul said in this epistle, you have fallen from grace. So, yes, you can backslide. You can fall. We don't want you to. God doesn't want you to. But don't put your bad breath in my face and tell me that you can't backslide, because once saved, always saved. Now, God wants you to be once saved and stay saved. Now, I know this violates teaching out there that they're calling gospel, but this is where it's kind of like things that my dad and I would talk about at the kitchen table many a times. About, he would talk about the traditions of man. Is it? But it's what the book says. And the book teaches things that are against traditions, that traditions are saying are gospel. Now, we're not here to say that we can't stay saved, but as it's been said already here, staying saved is a choice. And with choices, there are consequences, good ones and bad ones. Well, I guess consequences in a maybe the word for the good side of things that we would use, but there are benefits when we choose, right? That's why Joshua said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. I put before you death and life. You choose. I don't read anywhere in the Word of God that if we deny the Lord Jesus, we're going to end up right. I do read Jesus saying, you deny me, I'll deny you. If you die in sin, you are lost. Because there's a sin unto death and a sin not unto death. And the only sin not unto death is the one you repent of. That reaches the throne and reaches the altar of Calvary before you die. Praise God. But now, these people were dealing with something that Paul had to deal with, and he's dealing with in the entire epistle here. And he's dealing with the fact that they have been zealously affected by teaching that twists the Word of God. It's kind of like the conversation between Satan and Eve, right? In Genesis chapter 3, right, verse 1. And the serpent, more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And that's not what God said. God said, of every tree shall you eat, except one. And so he had conversation, and he convinced her. And she was being persuaded and being beguiled. Look, when you embrace the Word of God, when you realize that there is not another gospel, there's only one gospel, there's only one gospel message. There's only one Christ of the cross, only one death, one burial, one resurrection. There's only one Holy Ghost experience, only one born-again experience. There's no such thing in this book as your flavor of born-again and mine. Right? I mean, you can buy Starburst and get various flavors in one thing, but the gospel is one flavor. Sweeter than honey. Praise God. And it's a good flavor. Hallelujah. It's a good flavor. There's only one Lord. Isn't that what the scriptures teach? Doesn't it say, oh, taste and see that the one Lord is good? Yes. He tastes so good, you won't want any other Lord. Yes. Amen, because there are no other Lords. Yes. And when you taste the God of all false gods, amen, because he's God, that's the whole point. There are no other gods before him. When you taste him, there's nothing else to taste, because there's not another. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Stones don't taste good. Wood doesn't taste good. Crystals don't taste good. Rabbit feet don't taste good. Tarot cards don't taste good. But the Spirit of the living God tastes mighty good. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's not another gospel. But this gospel is powerful enough to set you free from all of your sins, from all idolatry and witchcraft and uncleanness. That's how powerful this gospel really is. Hallelujah. And I'm glad about this gospel. We're not throwing anything in anyone's face, but I'm here today to entice people. Amen. If you're in something that has not filled you with the Holy Ghost, if you're in something that has not put you in a burial tank in Jesus' name, get out of it. It's not a gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, and I'm not saying that to be mean-spirited. It's the truth. And when we want to know the truth, Jesus said, I am the truth, right? Singular truth. Amen. Jesus isn't dissected into a bunch of different religious philosophies and ideas, and it's going to be all right. He said, I am. And when they came to take him that night, he said, who are you looking for? Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And when he had spoken that, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, if you ever want to see a moment where the Lord let everybody know he was in charge, and that was the whole point of him answering that way, and the powerful effect upon them happened. He said, I am. Now, they're there to take him, but he said, I am. You're being allowed to take me. Just want to let you know, bud, because there's not another. And you don't take just not another, amen. You don't take the only one unless he allows you to do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why, you know, it's so silly for all these witchcraft people and warlords and wizards, and they get all fascinated about all the stupid stuff. They're serving a prisoner. How foolish can you be? They have his temples, and they worship and do all sorts of stupid stuff, and they have no idea they're serving a puny, pathetic prisoner spirit that one day those in hell will lift their eyes up and say, this is the one that troubled the nations? He don't look like the world, the way the world makes him look. No, he's a pretty boy. Yeah, that phrase, pretty boy Floyd. So what do you mean? Look, he appears as an angel of light. You think people that follow him are following him because he shows up with horns and a tail and a pitchfork and a red suit? He's not even a beast, he's a spirit. He don't even have color. Oh, boy. Preacher's going at it today. He's really got something under his neck today. Now he's defying all of our literature. Well, you know, they got to make him look like something to depict him. So they don't know how. So they just make him as ugly as he possibly can. But the truth of the matter is he wouldn't be so deceiving if he appeared so ugly. What he is dark. What he is cursed. What he is reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness. But boy, can he make himself look good. And some of his preachers carry a Bible. They teach doctrines. And they deceive people. That don't look like horns, pitchfork in a red suit, teeth. He just don't show up that way. But I'm sure he's fascinated and loves all the attention, but knows that that's not how I look. Because he knows if he walks up and says, I'm the devil and I want you to go to hell with me, you're going to close the door in his face. But if he savors something in your life that's open to him, he'll make it look real good. Even if it's something you know you should stay away from. Isn't that amazing? Already the commandment was given to Eve. You don't need this. You've got everything you could possibly want. You have everything, and what this spirit is offering is absolutely nothing. Or it was something with respects to what it was, disobedience to God and darkness and death. But it was nothing in comparison. But yeah, he made nothing look so good that she bought it. We know this is true. We've all become suckers to good salespeople, right? They weren't wearing a pitchfork, right? Holding a pitchfork, and they didn't have a tail. Oh, they did inwardly, but we couldn't see it. We saw the nice suit. We saw the fast talk. We saw all the blah, 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 blah. Yep, you want this. And they made us feel like that this vacuum cleaner is like the bee's knees. It's the greatest thing since God said, let there be light. And I've got to have it no matter how much it costs. Right? And then we bought it, and it wouldn't suck up anything from a wood floor. You walk away. How could I have been so stupid? Blind, making your humanity feel like low, and you just want to wring someone's neck. How did they do? How did I not allow them to demonstrate? See, you watch all these commercials, and they dirty a floor real quick by dumping something on it real fast. And then they go, zing, see, you need this. Look at how wonderful that is. Yeah, but they never do it on a tile that's been there for 20 years and had 85 kids run across it. And then, now you use it. Let me see if it's. Because they know it's not going to go, whoa. It's going to go, yeah, this thing doesn't work. Beat it. Get out of my house. So we've all been bushwhacked. So don't be deceived even by how they paint the picture of Lucifer. He is a devil, fallen spirit that was so dumb that he left everything he had for nothing. Thank you, Jesus. How many are glad there's not another? Amen. Hallelujah. There's not another gospel. Praise God. There's not another gospel. So in verse 7, he said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So for this young gentleman, he found some group that taught, no. Once you're saved, you're always saved no matter what you do. You can die in somebody else's arms. That's not, you're not supposed to be there. You'll be saved forever. You can hear a lot of replies right now. Well, that's right. Praise God. And that's why you're all in trouble, you bunch of dummies. Because you believe in that stuff. But that's not scripture. That is not scripture. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, we read, and such were some of you, but now you are washed. In the very beginning, when he said, let there be light, the scripture says, God divided the light from the darkness. He put separation. He put a difference between the two. Even John reiterated, John chapter 1, and the darkness, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There is a difference between the works of the flesh and the works of righteousness. You cannot live both. We know that's impossible. We can't live for God and the devil and expect to make glory our home. When we're converted, that's the whole point. Our sins are blotted out. The times of refreshing, right? Acts 3:19, come from the presence of the Lord. And when we are filled with the Spirit of God and converted, we are converted from something to something by one gospel. We have passed from death unto life. Peter said it like this in 1 Peter 2:9, right? That we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, right? Out of, not in. He hasn't left us in darkness to say, I'm saved, but I'm not saved. That's what people say, I'm saved, but I'm a sinner saved. I was a sinner. Let's correct this. But now I'm saved. If you're still sinning, you're not saved from what Jesus came to save you from until you are. You're not out of darkness until you're out of darkness. Amen. And we're taught in the Word of God that we should not walk in darkness, but walk in the light. That we should not put off the old man with his deeds. That this is scripture. This is every word of God. This is there's not another gospel. This is gospel teaching. This is what we learn, see? And when they go out there and they get infested because somebody meddles with their fleshly passion that they want to keep alive, and it's so much easier to just let it happen if I know I'm going to be okay with God. And I can still let it happen. I don't have to fight it. I don't have to overcome it. You're fine just like you are. That preacher's a deceiver. You need to go there and rebuke him. He's not teaching. That's another gospel. What we're saying is right. You can live any way you want as long as you've accepted the Lord. You're okay. I'm not against anybody, and I'm not here to, but sometimes the reason people kind of get a little bit, whoa, when they come to congregations like this, not ours, we're not the only one, it's because there's not another gospel, the real way, truth, and life now handles them. And they've now become surrounded, which is a good thing, by this presence of Almighty God that is secure and pure and holy and righteous and sanctified. And everything that they're trying to be, but they're not, because they're being encapsulated by a doctrine that is not the doctrine of the Lord, but it looks like it is. See, he appears as an angel of light. Sounds good. And when you're ignorant, it's easy to fall for some stuff. And Paul was coming to the Galatians saying, okay, so these Jews are coming to all you men saying you need to be circumcised or you can't be saved. And he's having to reteach them all over again that if you do the law, you're a debtor to do the whole law. But yet Christ died to redeem us from the law of sin and death, to bring us to the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ, because without Christ, we couldn't perform the spirituality of the law. And in fact, that one testament now is active. It could only be active because he deactivated the other testament. So that law and grace are not both active at the same time. He's the mediator of the New Testament. He is the, right? It's his will and testament that was activated by death. And when he died, the way things were done in the first covenant died and came alive through the new covenant, where circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the flesh, whose praise is of God and not of men, where one is a Jew, not outwardly, but inwardly. Praise the Lord. This is gospel teaching. And there's not another from this. This is what causes everybody in the church to get along, everyone to love one another, whether you're Jew, Gentile, black, white, red, pink, with purple polka dots, it makes no difference. We love one another because this is the gospel. Hallelujah, and there's not another. Thank you, Lord. Let's love him today, shall we? Let's love him today. He's so good. He's so good. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm closing here. Please, please hear me correctly. I know for some that are watching and people that we're going to be we're interacting with, that what I've said already has raised some hair in the back of the neck. Not because they don't love God, but because they've been under the tutoring of another, which is not another. But they don't know it's not another. To them, it's gospel, just like what we believed was gospel to us when we came. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost started getting a hold of us. We're like, what is going on here? What is this? I thought I was sad. I have Jesus. I have Jesus. Yeah. You ever meet some of the people stumbling on the streets? Oh, man, I have Jesus. Yeah, we're like this. Right? And they're trying to count all of you, and there's only one of you, right? I've had men do this. Oh, yeah, we're like this, man. I'm like, and I'm over here, you know? We're like this. Look, there's a difference in knowing about him and knowing him. Praise God. And the one gospel causes us to know him. The only one him there is. Hallelujah. The reason why we baptize in Jesus' name, because that's the only way to be baptized. That is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Let me say that again. There's not two methods of being baptized. It's all one puzzle. They all fit together. They all make one picture of redemption. We obey Matthew 28 and 19 when we baptize people saying, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because the Father has a name. And the Father manifested his name through the manifested Son of God. Son of God is who he is. Jesus is the name of the Son of God. Son is not his name. Father is not his name. Holy Ghost is not his name. Isn't that right? They didn't get in trouble for speaking about God the Father. When Peter and John in Acts 4 were standing before the Sanhedrin, they said, didn't we teach you and tell you and command you not to preach in this name? And that was Jesus. It wasn't Son of God. They didn't have any problem with the phrase the Son of God. They knew the Son of God would come. They just didn't want to believe he was the Son of God. But it's that name. Peter looked up, not the one that was denying him by a campfire.
But Peter, full of the Holy Ghost. I love that verse of scripture. I'll never forget the first time I read it in Acts 4. But Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said. I was like, oh yeah, here we go. Not Peter fearful, denying, and afraid to stand up for the truth, but Peter full of the Holy Ghost, standing in front of the same bunch of goofballs that Jesus stood before who condemned him to death. There, Peter and John standing there, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're not careful how to answer you, King Neb. There's not another gospel. There's only one God, and it's not your dumb statue. And be it known whether God spares us or not, we're not going to bow. Oh, I thank God for the word of God. It puts a boldness in your soul. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. So I told this young gentleman, I said, well, great. After he told me, you know, man, he'll take this and thrash you with it. I said, good. I said, go get 100 of them. Go get 1,000. Sit them all here. They will never be able to thrash us. And I didn't say that in pride and arrogance. But because we serve every word of God that proceeds out of the mouth of God, let them come with their one or two verses of scripture. The Lord will thrash them. Amen. We have no desire to thrash. It's that devil. The devil doesn't like your victory. He doesn't like your overcoming power. He wants to destroy you. Please understand that today. He doesn't like the fact that you're standing and living this one gospel. Praise God. He doesn't like the fact you've overcome the world. He doesn't like the fact that you're standing saying, oh, King, we will not bow. Yeah. Be it known unto you, Sanhedrin, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, that at the name of what? Jesus, every knee shall bow. It's not at the title, Father, Son, or Holy Ghost, that at the name of Jesus. Because Jesus is the name of the invisible God. Jesus is Jehovah, my Savior. Jehovah that quaked Mount Sinai, manifest in the flesh. Not another deity, one God. And after he took that veil of flesh off, he remained one God. And the word sent returned to the one who sent him. This is gospel teaching. And there's not another gospel. He didn't send Hercules down. He sent his word down. And when he stood there saying, Father, glorify yourself. Praise God. Glorify your name. It was not another deity speaking. It was the word of God that said, let there be light. Amen. When God spoke, what he spoke was manifest in the flesh and said, glorify thy name. And a voice came from the excellent glory saying, I have glorified it and we'll both glorify it again. It was the visible manifesting the invisible. Amen. But it was not a separate deity. Jesus said, I and Father are one. Praise God. If you don't believe that I'm the Father manifest in the flesh, you're going to die in your sins. Hallelujah. That's the gospel. So yeah, bring them on. Fill the whole house up with thrashers. Praise God. And we'll sing and worship and love you, and we'll get that baptismal tank filled. I'd love to fill that tank up and baptize a bunch of thrashers in Jesus' name. Let Jesus thrash your sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Leave the preacher alone. Let's all stand. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, do you love him today? Do you love him today? Glory to God. Glory. I'm telling you, this gospel will separate you from sin. You'll become a saint from being a sinner. Not a saint someday, a saint right now. Praise God. Walking in righteousness and holiness. Praise God. That's the difference here. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Do you love him today? We get to be free. We get to be free. Praise God. That's what he talked about. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. He came to free us. Amen. To deliver us from evil and from devils and from all sorts of ungodly lifestyles. Now, hallelujah. Can we have a song here today? Well, we're going to be praying here. It's been on my mind a lot. I love Jesus.
See, when somebody says they love Jesus but don't want to obey Jesus, they're lying. You don't love Jesus. And your heart's not open to him. Say, well, preacher, you're... Nah, point your bony finger in my face all you want to. I'm going to tell the truth right now. When you believe on him, you will hear him. Jesus said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. See, we don't prove that we believe by what we say. We prove by what we do. When Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Nobody said? Jesus said this. I didn't make it up. He said. So when somebody out there preaching says, well, baptism doesn't save you. I said, all right, thrasher. 1 Peter 3:19-20 says, concerning water, the boat that Noah built, he said, the like figure whereunto baptism does now save us. But you say it doesn't save us. So who do you think I'm supposed to believe? Come on. Isaiah 53:1, Lord, who hath believed our report? They're calling for me. We better sing. I love Jesus. He is my Savior. Would that be all right? Let's sing. I'm done. I got to stop because I want you to just pray and feel good and worship God a while here. Thank you, sister.
He is my Savior when storms are raging. He is my shelter, and when he leads me, I will follow. I love Jesus, and he loves me. Oh, I love Jesus, he is my Savior. When storms are raging, he is my shelter, and where he leads me, I will follow. I love Jesus, and he loves me. Oh, I love Jesus, he is my Savior. When storms are raging, he is my shelter, and where he leads me, I will follow. I love Jesus, and he loves me.
One more time.
Oh, I love Jesus, he is my Savior. When storms are raging, he is my shelter, and where he leads me, I will follow. I love Jesus, and he loves me.
The key to believing the gospel of Jesus Christ and being obedient is the heart. We all know that if the heart isn't open, no matter how good we teach it, how many verses of scripture we show, that it's not going to be seen. Because when there's a veil over your eyes, you can't see it. And the veil is a veil of unbelief. And that's why a lot of the Jews today still don't believe, because of unbelief. But Paul said, concerning his own people, he said, when the veil is taken away, then that which they can't see will come to them. And that's why he said in Romans 10, that with the heart man believes unto salvation, right? Unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made. But people have taken that piece of the puzzle, and not only have they misinterpreted and misquoted it, but they have plucked it from the rest of it and acted like it's the only verse. Now, it is a verse. It's an awesome verse. But in context, it's not saying what those that do preach another gospel say it's saying. So you be careful of just looking at that one little piece and say, This is the puzzle. When there's 999 other pieces that go with that one piece, then you can say, it's the puzzle. But the key for you and for all of us is the heart. If there's something you don't understand, then we do what Pastor would teach us to do. Stay in that Word of God and pray for understanding, but never avoid the Word of God. Just because you don't see it, you don't understand it, so you just skip over it. A Baptist preacher years and years ago preached, famous in the Southern Belt, preached 40 years. He said every time I come across Acts 2:38, he would skip it. Because it didn't go along with the general things that they were teaching. And he didn't come to it and submit to it till he was in his 80s. But oh, what a testimony Brother Freeman had. Praise God. What a testimony. And he's the one that said that's what he was doing. As a preacher, he was skipping over a verse and just kind of glazing it, saying, yeah. Now, if a preacher can say that about what he was doing, then you know what we're saying here is the truth. People are doing that. But when the heart humbles itself, amen. Lord, we thank you for the service today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for every heart in this house. We thank you for helping us today. Bless every soul. I pray that everyone will have a victorious week. And God, if any be under attack, Lord, you give them victory and deliverance over it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Help us all prevail. We're all going through something. Help us to prevail with this great gospel. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you today.
Hallelujah.